Turn with me this morning again to the book of Exodus. I'm going to go backward a little this morning. Oh, 25th chapter. Jerry said he'd been back to his heart doctor, and I said, I'm trying to stay away from him the last time I went. It didn't turn out too good, Jerry. Some of them around me are kind of wanting to get see their heart doctor some more, and I said, man, unless you just have to, you better stay away from there. But I'm finally kind of getting over that. I still don't have my breath back, I think, like I ought to, but it's improving a little all the time. I'm thankful for that. I do have a little more energy lately than I did have. If this weather would let up a little, I might do something. I guess we'll read in beginning in verse 16, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof. That's about 35 inches, by the way, best I can figure it up. And 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof.
That's interesting that it's that.
Yeah. Well, 14 1/4 inches wide. The breadth. Exactly. So he gave it to him. It's got to be done exactly according to the pattern. Always that way. Everything that was done in respect to these things, these items of worship, had to be done precisely according to the pattern.
Our thinking, it would be 35 exactly,
and
just
14
exactly.
Yeah, but
we wouldn't live a quarter.
Right. Right, but it wasn't true. I forgot the length of it exactly, but it's 35 and something inches. And I do remember it was 14 1/4 inches wide. Now, it doesn't tell us how deep, you know, how thick it was. But it was to be of pure gold, hammered out. If you look close enough, the ark is going to have a gold rim around it, and you could set this lid, this mercy seat, down in that, and so it wouldn't slide off. They're going to be moving this thing all the time. It had to go with them, along with all the other instruments of worship. And it said, and thou shalt make 2 cherubim of gold, of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. The only other thing about these instruments of worship was that it was made of pure gold and beaten out in the sense that they had to have artisan to make this thing was the lampstand made out of pure gold beaten out. And it couldn't be evidently be molded. He wanted them to work on this thing and make it to perfection. Because he brought on some artisan that was capable of doing that work. Which is also significant in that it can't just be any kind of sloppy work with the Lord. It has to be according to the pattern. Exact. We see these cherubim on each end of it. And I marvel at that. I've often marveled at that. These two cherubim. First time we see the cherub that I know of was at the garden when the Lord put Adam and Eve out of the garden, and he placed cherubim there to guard the way. Put a flaming sword there also with them. Reason he done that, so a man of his own free will, y'all heard the free will story, so he couldn't of his own free will enter in there and partake of the tree of life and remain in his sin. Now that's the whole story in this book, is that the Lord came to do away with sin. That was the main purpose. Get rid of sin. And said, and make one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And a cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. So we're going to put it in the ark and put the mercy seat over the testimony. Or the law, if you will. We use that word pretty loosely sometimes. That's what the testimony was, the law of God. So it was to be put over it. And there will I meet with thee. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony. Of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. That's what he's going to be telling them from above the mercy seat. Get rid of the sin. Come into the world to save the world from its sin. Then over in the book of Leviticus, just flip over a little from the 16th chapter. 16. In verse 12. And he shall take a censer, Aaron, full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat, that it upon the testimony that he die not. So it got to cover the whole thing. This cloud of the incense got to cover the whole thing. And there again, it couldn't be just any kind of incense. It had to be full of sweet incense, beaten small. So it would give off the proper kind of smoke. It can't be none of this kind like we got today, this holy smoke we got. going around the day. It had to be a particular one. And they shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Well, the law killed. The addendum does now. They couldn't look upon the law in its full force and power. It killed you. Don't say any more to us lest we die. They quite well understood that, didn't they? That this law was important. They full well understood, I believe, that it must be put into the ark and covered with a pure gold seat, with a cherubim facing one another and guarding it, just like it was at the garden, so that man couldn't enter in of his own free will and partake of those things that were holy and righteous and just. But the law, this testimony, condemned sin in flesh. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering as for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle and of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. It must be cleansed with the blood. And this pure mercy seat made of gold must be cleansed and sealed with the blood of the Lamb. It must be sealed up. Can you imagine the wrath that would come forth in the law had it not been placed in the ark and covered? Not only with the pure gold seat, but with the blood of Christ. No man would have survived. It would have slain every man. That's how powerful it was. That's how powerful it was against sin. That it could not tolerate the likes of man unless it would have been constrained by the shed blood of the Lamb. It's an awesome thing if you really think about the sealing of the law in the ark. It was a passage for the people of God. But it was death unto all others. If man had been left alone and it hadn't been sealed by the blood, he still would have tried to come in there of his own free will. He's still attempting that. To slip in there and steal the things of God. But he can't do it. Because it's sealed up against. The testimony against man is sealed, but it will be open. The same testimony. But it'll still be delivered. It's being delivered. In 1 John, the scripture says more than we could ever say in itself about these things. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, he said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye what? Sin not." That's what I said, wasn't it? These things, that was the prime reason, is to remove sin from the world that had come into it. We have an advocate. Oh, if any man, I'm about to leave some of that, that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's got a particular people in mind, though, when he said, when we have an advocate. They use that pretty loosely today and say, well, everybody, you know, everybody's children. No, they're not. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Once again, people want to use that like, well, this is everybody. But we're talking about a particular world here. We don't use that so loosely as to say, well, it's everybody in this world. But it's everybody that's in this world of the Lord. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He is our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. Where do you go? That was a question put to the disciples. They made that statement, where would we go? Wasn't but one place to go. To the propitiation. To the mercy seat. It's all the same thing. Lord's mercy endureth forever. And he is a merciful God. Had he not been, he would not have placed that covenant in the ark of the covenant and put the mercy seat up over it and shed the blood for it. Right. It would all been moot if it had been left open. It would have slain every man outside of mercy. Lord is merciful. Always looking in the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter. And I guess in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who were under the law. It still says the same thing. Yeah. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. It is. It's not that it may be. It may be in this respect that it is. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What did they do? Run and hid. And got them some fig leaves and tried to cover up their nakedness. So we know. How do we know? By the testimony. He said, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested by being witnessed by the law and the prophets. They told us about it, wrote of it. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not by your faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, who shed the blood upon the ark, upon the mercy seat, and all around it. Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned. Well, what does that tell you? Law would have slain every one of them. Had not the mercy seat been up over the law. It's far superior to the law. Far above the law.
Yes.
And guarded by the cherubim that was placed there with a flaming sword to take care of it. Not going to enter in. Except by the way of the cross. Can't enter in. It's sealed up. It's constrained by the love of God. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Well, it's a little more than just believe in Jesus. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through what? The forbearance of God. His mercy endureth forever. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Did you make a decision? No, it don't come that way. The law must first slay. Man don't need it. Any Savior, does he, if the law doesn't slay him? If it don't come to full fruition in a man's heart, then he doesn't need any salvation. What did he need saving from? He's justified in his own righteousness. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And in verse 11 he said, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things, to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. The ark was to be placed in the tabernacle. It was some more covering. It couldn't be just out there in them, just anywhere. When they got where they was going and set up, that's the first thing. They'd get the tabernacle up and get everything in its order. Put it in its place. And put the Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat in the most holy place. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of his this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, we don't need that, but by his own blood he sprinkled the mercy seat. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of the heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh, removed the sin, covered it up with the blood, covered the ark of the testimony up, and constrained the power of it also that it not slay all men, but redeem those that were under the law. You see, they weren't all under the law. It was the law that showed them what their state was. And those that understood that come to the mercy seat, as men also do in our day. Same mercy seat. Same atonement. It wasn't any different. Verse 5, he said, and over it the cherubim of glory shadowy, the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly.
Right.
And they were guarding it. And their wings stretched out. And they were facing one another and looking at the glory that was in the mercy seat. What glory was that? Jesus Christ himself. So his mercy endureth forever.
It always makes you wonder if there was any of those priests that ever went in there and said, well, I don't know if that's really true or not. I think I'll do this a little different this time. Maybe I won't sprinkle that 7 times like they said, or, you know, I can't help but wonder, you know, the man is so arrogant in his pride, I can't help but wonder if that didn't happen sometimes, that they try tempt God. But anyway, I was thinking, verse 11 there in Hebrews 9, but Christ, says, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. My mind went back to the 2nd chapter of Haggai. Haggai asked the question in chapter 2 and verse 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? And then you drop down to verse 9, it says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Most people today, they think there's still going to be a tabernacle built, a temple built that's going to be more glorious than Solomon's temple. Or Herod's temple or whatever. But doesn't this prove that it's already been built? It's Christ. Christ is the true tabernacle. And you can't improve upon that. You just can't do it. Right from the outset. But there again, it just shows. If that was glorious is going to be done away, then how much more glorious is that which will not be done away? And that which cannot and will not be done away is the Lord Jesus. How much can we know of God and the glory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that our desire? Isn't that our goal, ultimately, is to know Him? The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. I believe everything outside of that is vanity. It is. It's all vanity. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Excuse me. No.